Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Right now, get free FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/allaboutandroid. And by lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 237, recorded on Tuesday, October 27th, 2015. We are your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Yeah. Assemble Unite, Ron. Good to have you.
Are we like the Power... Wait, not Power Rangers. The Captain Planet? Like when our powers combine?
Possibly. I don't know what those powers are.
Voltron. But,
Voltron.
Well, I think there's Captain a few. Planet there's is. A few in this genre.
This is true. You
know, there's not just one combining robotic force
thing. It's true.
So it can be whatever. Yeah,
you know, if whatever form we want to take.
Androids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's good to have you back.
It's good to be back. It's good. The long, weary road. It's good to be back on the West Coast. So
where people speak English that sounds normal.
Well, I got used to it. In Ireland, I got used to it. After a week in Ireland, I definitely
normal
got,
yeah, to us, I got a little of course. Used to I realize it. That's very Western centric.
Yeah, it's when you're someone who talks fast and you talk to other people who talks fast with an accent, you sync up at some point.
So
excellent. It all works out. So
we're thrilled to welcome back to the show. And man, it's been too long. Jerry Hildenbrand of AndroidCentral.com. How you doing, Jerry?
Everyone? I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome. Jerry, it's so good to have you on today.
It's good to be back.
We have a lot of really cool stuff to talk about, namely hardware. Yes, the hardware train keeps a rolling, so much so that I couldn't really find a whole lot of news outside of hardware, maybe a couple of apps. So lots of hardware this week, but that's okay because it's hardware season. We're going to be discussing, full-on reviews of the Nexus 6P. I know we talked about it last week. But, you know, we've got some reviews to talk about here. The HTC One A9, which you have been playing around with for the past week, if not longer.
Yes.
Ooh.
We'll hear all about that. The YouTube Red announcement from last week.
Which I can't wait to talk about.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Also, podcasts and Google Play.
I know.
Together, was, hooking up.
I literally did a double take.
And a whole lot more. But instead of going into news, I don't know what you're going to do, Brian. Let's jump into hardware.
I'm going to forget to turn on the audio for hardware.
Well, that works.
That's the way you do it.
Whatever it takes.
All right. So I go away for 2 weeks. I come back with the lead story. All right. So
that's right. So this is how I welcome you back.
Verizon got on the announcement bandwagon and announced the Motorola Droid Turbo 2.
Turbo 2.
With a 5.4-inch shatterproof turbo shatter sealed screen. It's a 5-layer screen tech guaranteed to not shatter within 4 years. Jason, I feel like they might have seen the show and might have designed this for you. Never forget.
No.
But anyway, so
everyone,
this device is a 5.4-inch quad HD display, 21-megapixel rear-facing camera, 5-megapixel front-facing, 32 and 64 gig memory, 48-hour battery, micro SD card, swappable case covers with Moto Maker customizations. And if you're looking for marshmallow, you're going to have to wait. It's running Lollipop.
Aww.
So, which I don't understand why you would. Anyway, but so it's going to be available on October 29th at Verizon with up to $300 trade-in value and cracked screens included. And if you don't
on
want a contract
trade-in.
On your trade-in, yeah. And if you don't want the contract, you can get it for $624. And that's not it. Also, they showed off the Motorola Droid Max 2 for $389, which is more of a mid-range device without the shatterproof screen and no Moto Maker customization, but still sports a very large battery that should let you do all your interneting on your phone at all times,
yeah,
or at least for 48 hours.
This is typically the phone that Verizon tries to push. Verizon tries to push on people when they come and trade in to get a new phone.
Yeah, and it's right before the holidays. And yeah, it's, you know,
they're all about their Droid branded devices.
Droid.
Yep. I like that price too.
Yeah.
On the Max 2, that's where you have to be if you want to try to sell, you know, a mid-range, admittedly mid-range phone.
And some companies are actually selling what would be perceived as more premium devices in that price range too. It's been a very interesting year to year and a half, couple of years of kind of price adjustments on these devices and trying to figure out what the new normal is. You know, not to mention, I feel like, and maybe this is totally because I've only started buying unsubsidized, but I feel like there's a whole lot more talk and emphasis placed on unsubsidized, paying full contract price versus paying for a subsidy. And I think that's a good thing because a couple of years ago, I don't feel like everybody was kind of talking about that and expecting that that would be how they would purchase their device.
Yeah, I only used my subsidy this year because I had it. It was waiting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fine, I'll use it.
Like a carrot dangled in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. You got to eat the carrot before it rots.
So, Jerry, it sounds like you like the price of the Droid Max 2. What do you think about the Droid Turbo 2 and its turbo shatter shield screen?
I'm hoping that I get to review that.
Yeah,
because shatterproof. Yeah, I want to play with that.
You should throw it out the car when you're driving like 60
just
miles an hour.
What is shatterproof?
I would definitely review it and see what does it take to break it.
Yes,
because people want to know this.
Yeah,
you know, if you need to actually hit it with a hammer to break it, that's great. You know, we saw them drop it on bricks at the presentation. That looks really cool and something we've needed. You know, let's make these phones a little more durable.
Yeah, you know, people get really drunk and drop their phones on the ground. And when you're drunk, you don't realize your strength. And then your phone is shattered into many million little pieces.
And you find it hilarious because you're drunk.
Exactly.
But also, you might not be drunk. I mean, like, you were quite sober when
I was
happened
to
you.
Sober when
yes.
I walked,
exactly.
When I tried to walk in the doors of Twit.
But I do think it's funny that everywhere I read, it was shatterproof in quotes, as if it was just kind of like a nudge, you know?
I think it's a claim that your instant reaction is to read that and be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, right. There's something that's going to shatter that screen. I did see a video. I wish I would had put it in here. I think it was CNN or, you know, some news organization got one. And I mean, they did what everybody that's reviewing this device is going to do. They really went to town on it. And the only thing that really made any sort of damage to the screen itself was a horse walking onto it.
That's a
onto
lot of,
the
screen. There's a lot
that's
of PSI. Awesome.
And all that it did, it didn't shatter the screen. It just dented it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I never thought about that with their horseshoes on and everything.
Yeah. Didn't a horse kill someone? I mean, yes, at some point. No, wasn't it Catherine the Great? Was it Catherine the Great? Didn't the horse kick some, like, ruler?
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it steps on it. And then.
Oh, it's a Clydesdale.
No, that's a Central Park horse.
So a couple of dents in it. I mean, obviously, you don't want your phone looking like that necessarily, but any other phone, and that thing would be shattered beyond belief. And
but you could still use that. Even after a horse stomped on it, you could still use it.
And people will because phones are expensive. You would rather not replace your phone, especially if by not replacing it, you're not going to, you know, shove a million little glass particles into your fingers trying to continue to use it.
I've seen bloody fingers.
Yeah. Well, a bicycle's not going to do that.
No.
That's right. That's meant not to. So what I think was interesting by this story, less so about Verizon or shatterproof, but I feel like for the past couple of weeks, we've been kind of predicting the drain circling on Motorola.
Well, yeah, that was kind of what I was wondering, too.
Yeah, and so is this kind of like a, you know, oh, wait, hold on, they're not dead yet. You know, they've got shatterproof, you know, like, is that enough?
I think that's great that they're introducing this. They did say in some of the stuff that I read that they don't know what their plans are, but they guess that, you know, at some point this is going to filter into some of their other devices and stuff. Yeah. Launching with Lollipop and not Marshmallow. I mean, is that the kind of Verizon thing? Yeah,
that's
gotta
be a Verizon thing.
Yeah. Is that the kind of thing that makes nerds upset? And not everybody.
Well, but it has the micro SD card. So like, no Lollipop, but you got a micro SD card. Yeah. It's like the nerd bingo. What's gonna upset them? And what can we, you know, like what configuration can we do where
really
it's
is
you
like
know,
nerd bingo?
Yeah, exactly. So.
That's like the experience of buying a phone nowadays. It's totally you're playing bingo.
You're playing nerd bingo.
You're not gonna be able to get all of them, but you just want to find one straight line.
Yeah. Someday, we'll have a perfect five.
Do we feel like, Jerry, do we feel like Motorola is kind of, I don't know, do they have a chance of kind of turning around the ship? Because there has been a kind of a sea change on their reputation, particularly in light of the Marshmallow announcement where they, you know, are sorely leaving out some pretty current hardware on an update to Marshmallow. Think this helps kind of change that?
This helps, and this will help a few of the more vocal people that are worried about it. I mean, I'm very disappointed because we had such high expectations from Motorola, which I think is the biggest part of it. We put them up on a sort of a pedestal as, look how this company updates phones and takes care of their customers. And then they let us down this one time. I am confident that somebody at Motorola realizes what a mistake that was to the very vocal enthusiast community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose we'll see if that actually makes any sort of lasting change.
Who knows?
They're a different company.
Yeah, I mean, they're
a different company with different people that they're reporting to and all that. Yeah. So who knows what the force is on the inside.
And despite it not having Marshmallow, it's going to get it. It's just, I mean, it would be nice for it to launch with it.
You know? Can't make that assumption, though, because the Moto is a 2015 device, and it's not getting Marshmallow as far as we know. And Motorola has said absolutely nothing about it, even though so many people have...
I touched a nerve in Mr. Howell here. It's just like,
But, I mean, seriously, like, would you expect that any major OEM like Motorola that has such a goodwill behind its name would release a device in 2015 and then not update it to the next version of the OS that releases later that same year? Like, no, I never would have guessed that, but they're doing it.
Yeah.
And that kind of sucks.
The spookiest thing is because of all the extra value-added software that are going to be on these droids, it's a whole lot easier to have upgraded the Moto E than it will be to upgrade either of these. That just makes me feel a little weird inside.
Yeah.
I think that it'll happen, but it may take longer than anybody is happy about.
Yeah. I'm not really quite sure what's going on right now. I feel like
should we be evacuating?
Yeah, I know. Is that the earthquake alarm?
It's a very subtle alarm.
We're talking about our earthquake readiness plan while you were gone.
Oh,
every time you say Motorola or ring a bell, and
that's what happens.
Yeah,
the alarm goes off.
It's like Scientology. Like Scientology, where they have their little like squirrels who go around like getting mad at people who are talking about them. Motorola has little people planted here that are like, "What are they saying?"
Right. Well, clearly, that's a sign we should move on.
Obviously, that's what that was designed to do.
Yes,
I like the idea of having a gentle bell telling us when we talked enough about a topic. That's a good idea. There you go.
Okay. I'm not really quite sure. By the way, that's an iPhone, so we can throw all of our rage on
Megan's iPhone. You could go there, but that wouldn't be the better person.
Instead, let's go with an iPhone.
Let's go with something that looks like an iPhone.
The HTC One A9. Flo, you've spent some time with it.
I spent a couple of days with it. Yes, I did. I spent a couple of days with the One A9, which just the reviews have all gone live right when the show was starting. Mm-hmm. So you can now go online and check to see what everybody's saying about it. My review is up on greenbot.com, and I have given the One A9 a 3 out of 5 in Greenbot scoring. So
middle of the road.
Couple of sort of quick notes just from my review. Low light performance is not any better than the One M9. Unfortunately, it's just only slightly better. The manual camera controls seem like they're just there for vanity. The One A9, and this is really interesting. My editor helped me figure this out. It failed the manual camera compatibility test, which is an app that tests to see if the phone supports Lollipop's camera to API. So you can't use any other manual camera app if you want to, you know, do some little tricks and things with it. So that's a total bummer. Sense UI is also a total nuisance now. Like, I just have a really hard time. You can turn it on if you want.
Well, I tried it. Password thing.
Yeah, let me fingerprint it for you.
Throw me your finger.
Oops. I was doing VR earlier, so that showed up.
Oh, you're on the VR bandwagon. You really are.
I was.
So this is Sense UI that we're looking at right now.
Sense UI.
When hasn't been a nuisance? That's my question. That's
it was okay in the older days, like before material design was a standard.
Right.
But is just very narrow. It's very crowded.
Why are they forcing every icon to be a circle?
The other thing I was going to add is the theming engine on this is not very good.
Yeah.
I know HTC is pushing this like personalize your phone. You know, you can pick from a couple of different icons, but unfortunately you can't bring in any third-party icon packs, which is a total bummer. Hmm. Also, this phone has ads.
Amazon ads?
Like Blinkfeed has ads in them, which is just, oh, that's my app, which is just totally ridiculous.
Go away, app.
Everything is locked on the phone. I'm sorry. I'm making this
really
difficult.
It knows that
for
I shouldn't
segment.
Have it, apparently.
And also the Snapdragon 617 that's in it, it's kind of a faker. Like, it does pretty okay in benchmarks, but there are phones that cost less than this phone that perform like 40% better. And also, even though battery life is really good, you're powering up like a 1080p screen.
It's heavy.
It's a smaller phone. It's a smaller processor, so you're not doing as much work with it. There's also, the UI is kind of sluggish. Hmm. It's not what I would expect from, you know, a nice, well-rounded Android device. And just with all the press that's been surrounded, surrounding this sort of like iPhone lookalike, you know,
similarities.
Well, it's hard to ignore.
The good news is that the fingerprint scan works.
The fingerprint scanner
it's
is fantastic.
It's keeping me out.
It works. It works as a home button as well, but you can't like long press it to use Google Now on top, which is sort of a bummer. So, and the biggest bummer of all, I think, is that this phone is for $399 right now, but on November 7th, it's going up to $599.
Wow.
So the $399 was just was just a suggestion.
See, and at $399, it kind of made a little more sense.
$399,
right?
It was okay.
You know, there are some things in there that target it more at the mid-range market than at the upper end. The design definitely edges out mid-range devices and makes it feel more like a premium device. But the internals don't necessarily match that. And $599 is just shy, I mean, of a premium
You could buy a Moto X Pure Edition that you can customize yourself. You could buy a Nexus 5X with Nexus protection. You could buy a Nexus 6P, or hell, you could just buy yourself an iPhone. I mean, if that's what you really want. Like, nobody who wants an iPhone is going to buy an HTC. Like, that's just not, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. So I'm just very disappointed with the overall
I like the feel
experience.
Of the device.
It's
I like
a very nice feel,
from a design perspective, kind of like how it feels in my hand. No, I wouldn't pay $49 or $499 for that. Jerry, are you impressed by the 1A9? Have you had a chance to play around with it? What do you think?
Yeah, I got to play with it last week a little bit. Hyperlapse that's built in was really fun. And that's about where I'll stop.
Yeah.
Where you'll stop because if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all?
Right. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just definitely not worth the price tag they've put on it. And that makes me sad.
So the price is $499, not $399. Okay, yeah. So it's $100 more. Sorry, if I said $200 more, then I was wrong. Apparently, I'm not good at math. okay, so the HTC One A9, so-so. I think I saw an Ars review that said that they liked it possibly a little bit more than you, but yeah, I don't see it knocking anybody's socks off.
I just really wasn't impressed with it, and I just think HTC could do a lot better than this. They have a business that they're trying to get out of the hole right now, and this is just not the device that's going to do that for them. And it's frustrating because they were one of like the first manufacturers to support Android. We've been with them for so many generations and they're floundering. And then they also have all this weird press surrounded around like Apple copied us. That's completely the wrong focus. We need to be focusing on making good products that are going to sell well, you know.
And I think part of it is that they are desperately trying to create an identity for themselves, and they're just going making the wrong calls, you know? Like imagine, like, there are so many things they could do with either price or features or, like, the nerd bingo that we talked about. Like, imagine if they, like, listened to what everyone wants and made that phone stock Android, you know what I mean? But, like, there's somebody there saying we have to put the HTC imprint on it, and that's what's causing it.
Yeah.
So, poor HTC.
Well, then how about we talk about a phone that apparently is checking all the boxes? Reviews that I've seen on the Nexus 6P are saying things like, oh, I don't know, this is the way Android phones should be.
That's my headline. This
reviewer named Florence Ion wrote. Jerry, you were extremely positive about the Nexus 6P. So let's hear what you guys have to say about this. I'm actually still working on my review. I'm going to be recording a review on Thursday for this week's Before You Buy. I'm loving it. Jerry, why don't you go first and tell us your thoughts?
Well, my biggest takeaway from this is this phone does everything as advertised. All this stuff that Google's shown us, this is what's in Marshmallow, and it'll doze so you save your battery. And, you know, all this stuff that they have, this phone does everything it's supposed to do. It does it right. It does it all the time. And I never had a time when I looked at it and said, man, I wish this was better. And to me, that's what really opened my eyes. If you review phones for a living, you always have something that you wish was better with the phone you have in your hand. Everything that this phone is supposed to do, it just does very, very well. And that impressed me. I wish it had wireless charging. Then I would call it a 10 of 10. And I am not a person who, you know, you have to earn that 10.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It's like the dream of the Nexus phone that we, every time they announce a new one, we hope that this is going to be the one that ticks all the boxes.
This is close. And, you know, yeah. Except for, I agree with Jerry, the wireless charging was a total bummer.
But is wireless charging a luxury or a requirement?
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's cool. I got text messages about it from my friends that were like, this phone doesn't have wireless charging. What is this, flip stable?
But I feel like wireless charging is to phones as heated seats are to cars.
Once you have heated seats, you cannot go back. I'm sorry. I do not know life without heated seats. All right? When you're having a bad day and you can just sit in your car for a little bit after you turn it off and turn on the seats... It's like wireless charging.
Maybe a year ago I would be bantering back, but I'm just going to let that sit. I rest my case.
All right. So Flo, would you say that before the Nexus 6P, you've gotten accustomed to having wireless charging on your day-to-day device and now not having it, it's like
What? Google, credit where it's due. Now I don't need it because you put Doze on this little thing.
Yeah.
At the end
of
the day,
I saw that.
70% as I'm leaving the office after 9 hours in the office. And I'm going home, I'm listening to Spotify, I'm streaming because I had a new playlist I didn't download yet. And I get home and I still have like 66% battery life left.
Yeah.
And that never happened with the GS6 Edge. The GS6 Edge, I would have to get to work immediately, pop it on wireless charging pad to give it some juice.
It's like your life revolves around having to plug it in order to keep it alive.
Exactly.
I've had great battery performance on this. This is the replacement unit. Because I had one before and it was really wonky, and there was something obviously wrong because my experience with this one has been completely different. But, I mean, I pick up my phone off the charger somewhere around 6:30 in the morning, and I put it on there at around 11:30 midnight, and I have not done that a single time in the past, I don't know, 5 days with this device and had my battery be any less than, like, 30%.
Right.
So that tells me... spot on. Like, they did what I want, which is I want to be able to make it through an entire day and still have, you know, a third of the battery left
in case they decide
to party all night, which never happens anymore. But still, if I wanted to, my phone would live. That's a good
thing. I bought a bunch of cables because I'm sitting here worried, what am I going to do? It only comes with two cables and I'm going to need to charge it here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah.
So I bought all these cables and I don't need them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, that's funny because I literally had a meeting earlier today with somebody who had a brand new Nexus 6P, and like within like he's had it for day one, and he's like, "Yeah, the only thing that worries me is that USB-C connector. I only got one cable," and I was like, "Well,
I did buy an extra one just to have a little extra around the house."
We bought we haven't received them yet, but car chargers with those cables.
They're kind of pricey because they're still niche. Yeah. You know, they're like $10 a piece.
Get the monster cable ones. Get the gold tipped ones.
But even the mono price ones are about like $9, $10. So
I'm curious. I'll tell you, I'm very curious.
Well, okay. So, all right. So this brings us to Ron. You're at this
crossroads.
You're trying to figure out. I saw Android Central had a review also by Russell Holly of the 5X, and it was not positive in a lot of ways. It was kind of like, don't bother. Just go for the 6P.
Definitely felt like fan service, so I can understand why he came with that perspective.
Yeah. Well, because, and mind you, the 5X is following in some pretty intense footsteps. The 5 right. is, yeah. by all accounts, yeah. one of the best Nexus, if not the best Nexus devices. So following it up is next to impossible.
Mm-hmm. Although I'm ready
it's
to
like
throw mine
the
out
impossible
the window.
Sequel, you know?
I'm ready to throw mine out the window.
The 5?
Yeah, the Nexus 5.
Okay, it finally hit that point.
Well, it's funny because after we had Tim Schofield on, or Schofield on, we were talking about the 16 gig versus 32 mm-hmm. gig phones. I have a 16 gig Nexus 5, and I've never run into space problems. And in the last month, I was like getting that message on Google Photos going, can we delete 700 meg of these photos to free up room? Like, why do you need to free up room? And I look and I was like in the, I had like, ooh. Like half a gig free and all, it was all apps. I was like, when did that happen? Like, so I went, had to go through and uninstall a bunch of apps. And so had to free up space from there. But then on top of that, ever since Marshmallow, for some reason, I don't know if it's my router or if it's the phone or if it's Marshmallow, but it won't connect to my Wi-Fi in my house anymore. Like it just, it's always obtaining IP address. And I have an old Linksys router that might be at the end of its life, but
right.
But who knows? But and it's been sluggish, and it's been taking, you know, so like it's almost, you know, I don't know if like because mentally I'm prepared for a new phone, if now I'm noticing all the things that I just lived with, but I do feel as if we're reaching the end of the
it's like the end of a relationship, right?
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah,
you realize it's just time to move on.
Your phone is looking elsewhere,
Everybody's asking what my new phone is going to be, and I said how I'm kind of on the fence, and I don't really know, you know. And the next bit, you guys. I had the guy from Nextbit in, and I was very jealous.
But that's not for a while.
I know, but it's cool. And I like the Nexus 5X. I like the 6P. I don't know. But
you have a bunch of money. Just buy a bunch of phones. Actually,
yeah, you sleep on a bed of money, don't you?
Yeah.
Jeez, I wish. but anyway, we did get an email
we're not getting an answer to this question, by the way.
No, we're not.
I really thought we were going to be
soon.
6P then, right? Okay, before you move on, answer me this question.
Riddle me this.
The 6P you were thinking was going to be too big.
Yes.
Do you still feel that way?
Yes, I am still anti that large
format. Well, then that answers that.
Although I'm wondering if I'm starting to be Archie Bunker and I need to get with the times, and I don't know if anyone gets that reference. But
I get it.
All right, good. There you go. The millennial got it. but yeah, no, I'm wondering if I just need to accept the fact that phones are larger and I'll deal with it. But I like my 5. I like this form factor. Yeah.
You could always buy a 5-inch 189.
Yeah, I could. But they might be cheaper.
That is a possibility.
Mark in Sacramento really wants me to make a decision, so much so that he wrote in and he said, on the episode following the new Nexus device lineup, I remember Ron saying he wasn't sure which version he wanted to get and wanted to wait for reviews before deciding, which I think is a fair and balanced opinion, right?
Absolutely.
Like, wait for the reviews, see what people like Jerry and Flo and other folks who I trust, see what they think. Mm-hmm. But Mark says, something I forgot about was the fantastic return policy on the Google store that solves Ron's dilemma. The policy states, quote, if you aren't happy with something you bought, you can return an item within 15 calendar days after the day you received it. We'll send a full refund minus your original shipping and handling charges to your original payment method within 14 business days after Google receives the device.
Wow.
That said, there is no reason not to test drive one of the two phones.
Yeah, Ron.
If you don't like it after 2 weeks, return it and try the other. Problem solved. As far as I'm aware, I don't think any carrier or manufacturer gives customers such a liberal, no-hassle return policy when it comes to new phones. Just something I thought the fans of the show should know about. Now Ron has zero excuses to not pull the trigger on one of the new Nexus phones. Thanks, and I'm waiting for my 6P to test drive.
It's like, that's perfect. It's like buying a designer dress and returning it after you wear it to the party.
Here's the flaw in Mark's problem.
Oh.
Here's the flaw. One,
there's a flaw.
That requires you to lay out the cash to buy it. And not that I don't have it, but it's like, that's a lot of, it's like I can't.
Yeah.
You
know,
and two, that also requires you to be on top of things and pack that phone back up and ship it back with the clock is ticking. And
sure.
And
that's why they invented Google Calendar.
True. Good point. But things get busy. It's hard to get to the post office. You know what I mean?
Like
those generous return policies, they put those in place preying on people like me who don't have time to go return it.
Do you want me to help you?
No, maybe I'll do the Task Rabbit.
I can help you.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Don't Task Rabbit. That's so San Francisco. You're going to pay somebody?
I don't know. These are all options. But anyway, so I'm considering it. I don't know. We'll see. I'm reading the reviews. I'm mulling. Mm-hmm. The holidays are coming. I'm slowing my roll.
Okay.
I'm not rushing into a decision.
Every day moving forward, that Nexus 5
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Anger you more and more with each day.
Numerous
you might just be better off just wiping it and starting from scratch.
That's so much work.
It is a lot of work. That's so a whole work. Saturday afternoon.
Yeah,
a Saturday afternoon.
It's not that bad. I've already done that twice this year. I've already done that twice this year. This is my third Nexus 5 this year.
All right.
I've already
really.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I broke one, then I broke another one, and then I had a bad run. Hmm. Yeah, sometimes the phone falls.
Maybe we can find you a review unit.
I would be okay with that.
All right, all right. Yeah. Let's see what we can do.
And they can ask for something else for Christmas.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. So 6P, awesome. That's what we all seem to think. And, you know, maybe we'll pull you into the 6P camp as well. Let's take a minute and thank our first sponsor of today's episode. That is the Ring Video Doorbell. Basically, what this means is you can use your smartphone to monitor your front door. It's like caller ID for your home, essentially. You install this video doorbell right there. That's a little camera up there and a button below. Buttons on doorbells are meant to be pressed. And once pressed, contact the people inside and let them know that you are out there. But the difference from a normal doorbell is that this actually then tells your smartphone that somebody's out there calling. And whether you're home or not, you can actually answer the call and talk to them through the Ring Video Doorbell.
Which is great for receiving packages and
awesome
also for things being dropped off or talking to your children.
Yes, sometimes they call me from time to time. Those calls have waned.
I love that, by the way, as an example of a use case that the people who created it didn't intend for. That's fascinating. Yeah.
I really want to do something around Halloween with it, too, because we're going to be trick-or-treating. I would love to kind of figure out some way to scare the kids I don't know how scary a Ring Video Doorbell audio call is going to be, but I would love to figure something out. Anyways, the wheels are turning. But it's super cool.
Old man Hal and his scary doorbell. I'm not going there next year. Ooh,
whatever you do, don't press this button. You know?
Maybe I'll just say boo, and that'll be it.
It'd be better if there was a video screen. Anyway,
maybe a future iteration we'll have video.
All about Halloween.
Coming back, yeah. But 95% of home break-ins happen during the day. Burglars usually start by ringing the doorbell and to see if anyone's there before going in. So this is kind of a way to kind of thwart that among many other use cases, like you said, dropping off deliveries, just kind of seeing who's there. All that sort of stuff. It's been a really great addition to our home. And installation is super easy. Takes literally just a couple of minutes, you know, probably like 15, 20 minutes, I'd say, is what it took me. Comes with everything you need inside the kit. There's a drill bit, a level. It has a proprietary screw that is how this fastens in. That's what prevents anyone from coming with like a Phillips head and just taking it off and taking it and, hey, I've got a Ring Video Doorbell. It's all proprietary, so they can't get into it. And it's Time Magazine actually named it one of the top 10 gadgets of 2014. So very cool stuff. Prevent burglaries before they happen. Go to ring.com/allaboutandroid. And doing that, you're going to get free FedEx shipping on your order. That's ring.com/allaboutandroid. And with Ring, you're always home, even when you're not. But it's great. You should check it out, Ring Video Doorbell. It's ring.com/allaboutandroid. We thank Ring for their support. Okay, we don't need to roll a bumper because we're still talking hardware.
Keep rolling hardware.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Or we can do it. Yeah, that's fine.
I'll just cut it short.
All right. Cool. Yeah. It is kind of a shorter second half. So.
Yeah, we're going to make this short because I don't want to talk that long about the BlackBerry Priv.
Why not?
It sounds dirty.
I'm sorry that I am
not
so negative
Perv.
About
the Priv.
This.
No, the Priv. It sounds because it's like, isn't it like the privy? Isn't that like a bathroom synonym? Like the Priv?
Ooh,
like
I
a
don't
British
know.
Privy? Like, isn't that?
I don't know.
I might be wrong. I'm going to look it up.
Well, regardless.
I'm not privy to that information.
If you want a BlackBerry Android phone, you can pre-order one now for $699, which is kind of cool.
A privy is a toilet located in a small shed outside of a house or another building,
this
also
is
known as an outhouse.
I did not know.
Sorry. The BlackBerry.
Wow.
I'm not going to make that joke.
No, seriously. That paints this in a different
right?
light.
It does.
I did not know this piece of information.
Yeah. I knew. I'm not crazy.
No, there's a method to your madness.
Yeah. Okay, BlackBerry, we'll let you have this with your BlackBerry Priv. We'll let you have this and see what happens. Pre-orders have started. I don't know what you're pre-ordering at because nobody has seen this phone or touched it or felt it or used it or anything like that. It does have a 5.4-inch dual curve screen. And slides out a little keyboard, as you can see in the photo there. It's also got an 18-megapixel rear-facing camera and a security feature, Natch, designed to warn users when their privacy could be at risk, which makes sense because that's BlackBerry's whole campaign. Mm-hmm. But $700 for a BlackBerry phone that no one's touched and felt and used. I mean, we were just talking about pricing points earlier in the show, and it just feels like this is not, for a company that's trying to sort of like come back into the industry, it doesn't seem like it's a very good price point, like to try and sell a premium phone without having, I mean, they lost some of their legacy the last couple of years.
They have.
It's not, you know.
They need to get their groove back.
Yeah, like Stella.
Like Stella. Exactly like Stella.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad we're
They should have called it the BlackBerry Stella. That would have done much better, the BlackBerry
but
Stella.
But then people would have been like, people would have been like, Stella! Like, anytime they got, like, annoyed with it.
I think that's okay, too.
Jerry, what do you think? Is this BlackBerry getting its groove back?
I have been waiting for this form factor.
Yeah, me too. Keyboard.
My biggest concern is, I was a BlackBerry user up until the G1 came out.
Bless you.
That's what I used. I was a BlackBerry user. They are just not good at keeping things up to date in a timely fashion at all. They never have been. That hasn't changed. I'm more worried about, what about the next big security scare when it comes along? We see all these manufacturers, well, we're going to get a fix out in a month. That's great and fine. I don't have confidence that BlackBerry is going to be able to do that with a new operating system. And, you know, security is their thing. I don't know how they're going to handle that when the core of the OS has an exploit somebody discovered and it takes them too long to patch it. Mm. And maybe I'm just wrong. I mean, I want to give them a shot. BlackBerry has a spot in my heart for some crazy reason. And I really want this to be successful. And then I look at the price tag and I think it's just not going to be.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, exactly. For reasons we were talking about, kind of the new normal of pricing, and is $699 in line with, you know, phones of this type. But like you said, there are a lot of people that really want a hardware keyboard on their phone.
Well, and BlackBerry is the OG smartphone when you think about it.
Exactly.
Like, if you didn't have like if you just had a regular phone, you had like a cool sidekick because you were like whatever, a cool millennial, or you had like a BlackBerry which had a keyboard on it and can do all these things that.
That's an oxymoron, a cool millennial.
Whatever.
But I think BlackBerry, not only with the keyboard and the form factor, and BlackBerry ushered in the era of it being okay to check your email on your phone, right? I mean, I was working in a corporate environment in 2003 when I got handed my BlackBerry, and
you
it was like, oh, great,
everything.
So I never get to relax. Awesome.
Yeah,
thank
exactly.
You. And then number two was that, honestly, I don't think we would have Hangouts, iMessages, whatever, if it wasn't for BBM.
Yeah.
Or BBM was the first group messaging client that got traction. Yeah, so. I mean, BlackBerry, they have a good history,
good foundation.
Yeah, but
maybe they can position themselves as a more enterprise focused Android device. I would rather go with a trusted brand like BlackBerry for a secure phone over, say, like BlackPhone, which hasn't had as much traction mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Good point.
Because I feel like BlackPhone is super, super niche specific. And like BlackBerry was a household name. I mean, I know people who in the mid 2000s referred to any cell phone as let me see your BlackBerry, and it's like, well, no, it's not a Kleenex, you know, it's not a Xerox. It became ubiquitous. It became, you know, so for a time.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's coming out soon, so we'll get to play with it and use it and see what it's like to
priv
to priv.
Take it to the privy.
I can do that. Just kidding.
Cool.
I'm going too far with this joke.
Were you gonna add something there, Jerry? I thought.
No, I'm just. I hope I get to review this thing because I'm not spending $700 on it, and I really want to play with it.
Yeah.
It's BlackBerry doesn't get enough credit for, you know, as we were, you know, just mentioning that all these things we probably wouldn't have had if it wasn't for BlackBerry. We give Apple a lot of credit for the way smartphones are now, but BlackBerry was there first, throwing stuff out.
Yeah, very true.
Yep.
Very true. It's just the move from hardware to touchscreen didn't go so hot for BlackBerry, and that is like the current paradigm.
Yeah.
I think I still have guitar picks behind the screen on my Storm.
Nice.
Do what you got to do. Hopefully you don't have to do that with a Priv. Let's see here. How about modular phones? So we've talked a lot about, you know, Google's Project Aura, and, you know, who knows when we're going to see that. I think We're supposed to see that. We were supposed to see that this year,
but they pushed it. They pushed it to next year.
Yeah,
that tweet, where the sad tweet, the sad trombone tweet, where they're like, sorry, and also not Puerto Rico.
It turns out modular phones are hard.
I know, and I booked my flight to Puerto Rico. I was there to get.
Oh my god!
No, I didn't.
No, we have to anyway. No. I want to go to Puerto Rico now.
No, it's not going to happen.
All that Android retreat.
It's not going to happen now. They said it's not going to happen in Puerto Rico.
We should just go anyway.
We should go anyway.
We should get Aura and then go to Puerto Rico. And yeah,
there we go. Yeah. We can have our own Aura in Puerto Rico thing.
I love the idea of modular phones.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, this is the Fairphone 2 is another kind of player in this space. 525 euros, supposed to release in December.
It looks like little bits.
Yes, exactly. I mean,
they do. You're right. That's pretty cool.
Said little bits, my mind went to phone blocks, which is Aura has basically become.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, they're all, see, I'm getting a doorbell ring right now.
Is it your children?
It probably is. Oh, yeah, absolutely it is. I'm not going to answer it, though. I'm going to stay focused. They say this has a lifespan of 5 years, meaning that users will be able to swap out the components, as you should be able to do with a modular device. To fix any issues that might arise over the course of its lifespan, launches with Android 5.1, Snapdragon 801 processor, 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs storage, 8 megapixel rear-facing camera. There's a 20 milliamp hour battery and a 5-inch full HD LCD display. The blocks that can be interchangeable blocks are the chassis, the back cover, the removable battery, the display, receiver, camera, and speaker. Now, in this case, like in Project Aura, everything snaps together with magnets. Here, the modules are actually secured with Phillips screws, all of the same size. So, you know, I guess that makes it a little bit easier.
And they look like some pins that go like...
But that makes it... Yeah.
That's the picture right there that intrigues me.
Mm-hmm.
It has an expansion port.
Ah, is that what's being circled right there? Oh, yeah, you're right. You're
right. Yeah, I'm just... My mind is all crazy with all these things I could invent to plug into it, and I hope somebody that can actually really invent them invents things to plug in there.
I think that right there is kind of the exciting aspect of modular phones. Not necessarily that everybody, and I guess it remains to be seen, because Google certainly appears to have high hopes for Aura and to be like, this is the every person phone, even though modular phone seems like such a niche category.
I don't get that sense of Aura at all. I get the sense that it's just this exploratory, experimental thing.
Yeah.
But they're keeping it low cost because they want a lot of people to play around with it and buy into it. That was the sense that I got from it. Just the fact that, you know, not necessarily that everybody's going to expect that all future phones are going to have a camera module that you can swap in and out, but the really cool, like you're saying, random things that somebody thinks up that suddenly your phone is capable of doing. Right now, we're so used to our phone being capable of being a camera or being a GPS navigator or whatever, but what are those things that haven't made a whole lot of sense to build into a phone because not that many people would ever want to use their phone for that. But there's always that niche group of people that think, I really want my phone to do this. And now suddenly there's a marketplace where people can design and build hardware that enables that kind of random weird stuff.
You mean Nerd Bingo?
Yeah.
I mean, it keeps going back to it. But it's like wireless charging isn't important to me. Micro SD card isn't important to me. A good camera is important to me. You know, like there are all these different variables, and that, you know, looking at it, like we look at the phone and we're dependent on the manufacturers to create the phone we want, but this lets you make the phone you want. I think it's great. And it comes with a neat little case and everything. And it's a good name, the Fairphone. Maybe this will be my next phone.
Yeah, like maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. December.
Maybe. I'm gonna walk the walk.
You can get it like a month or two before the next bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just saying.
Yeah. I like it. I'm cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where do you land on kind of the modular thing that's going on right now or building rather, Jerry?
It's, as somebody who has actually worked in a factory that built electronic devices, modular phones scare me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that can go wrong and things that can get dropped and things that will no longer fit together. And any company that, you know, Fairphone or Project Aura, when you release this retail, you're going to need some great customer support.
Yep.
And that's going to make all the difference to how well it's received.
And this also opens the door to lots more mouth, you know, like if you don't, I mean, I've, I, I, you know, I've worked in computer hardware. Like, we've, you know, the days of the beige case that you build by yourself are kind of gone. There's still some people who do it, but I can't, like, the number of video cards I've blown out by, you know, like by touching it against something, you know, like we're shorting something out. I mean, I think my father could probably give a litany of mistakes I made while trying to do it, and, you know, blowing out RAM chips and stuff like that. So is that going to, you know, whenever you get on the pin level of electronics, there's, you know, it's static electricity, all these things that could go wrong. Mm-hmm. So, Jerry, that's a great point about the customer service aspect.
But that port on the back, maybe you could, like, plug a laser into it. Pew,
pew, cool. Pew.
That would be, I don't know, I'm really intrigued. And for somebody like me and a lot of people listening to the show, this is going to be really cool.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. Sign me up. I'm just going to collect phones now. That's what I'm going to do. I need to contact these people so I can get a – I need to review it. No, anyway.
Absolutely.
But cool. Enough about phones. Let's get into some hardware. Look at it. Look at it. There you go. All right. So I got a little hardware 1-2 punch with Android Wear. First up, Fossil. You know the watchmakers. They unveiled their Q wearable devices, and one of them is an Android Wear watch. The Fossil Q Founder costs $275, and it's going to be out in time for the holidays. So for that friend or relative who's a big Fossil watch fan, you can get them on board with Android Wear. And like the Tag watch, it will have an Intel CPU as opposed to the somewhat standard Qualcomm Snapdragon. So getting a little bit of personality on the innards of the Q.
It's a nice
pretty neat
watch.
Yeah, so. Just another watch that
starting to kind of all look the same.
Yeah. I'm curious. We haven't seen the holiday gift guides are going to start coming out. I'm curious to see what role wearables play this holidays. Is that the hot gift? Is that the tickle me elmo?
I don't think it is.
What is it, VR? Is it, what is it going to be?
I don't know.
Good question.
Do you think
people who wrote about electronics to tell us.
Has this been a defining year for wearables, or has this been a come to earth year for wearables?
Oh, good question.
Well, I never heard that before. Come to Earth,
like has
like
it fallen?
You're flying
has it come
so
back
high. Yeah. Have we now kind of come back down and be like, okay, this is actually how wearables are versus a year ago when people were so optimistic?
I think we have a lot of choice, but I still don't think it's a mainstream thing. Well, take that back, because the Apple Watch. I mean, I see it more and more now on public transportation, especially around here.
Well,
people wearing them.
Yeah,
I know this is
the
Bay Area, blah blah blah. Yeah. But I'm just thinking, like, if you know the Apple Watch keeps a couple generations, then we'll have more than just Apple Watches around, and maybe
build a little bit more.
Yeah, because we don't have any like numbers on Android Wear devices and how much they're selling.
Yep. Well, who knows, Jerry? What do you think? Do you think this is a have we reached peak wearables, or is it going
to peak wear?
Yeah.
I've yet to meet anybody who says a wearable, especially a watch, is something that they need.
Yeah.
A lot of people like it, and I'm one of those people. I like I switch off between a Pebble Steel or the new Pebble Time Steel and the new watch from Huawei, and I like it, and I find them useful. But they don't do anything I need just yet, and until they fill a need, I think they're just going to remain a niche product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't disagree. Until there's that killer app.
That killer
is
app, right?
Like, oh, man, I don't know how we existed without this, similar to email on our phone on a BlackBerry. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, it needs to define itself. It needs to be stoppy. The problem is I think it's being defined by the device it's being paired with.
Mm-hmm.
And because the technology isn't at the point where it can exist on its own, and I don't know if it's something like Wove, which we saw a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. which is that you know, the wearable screen, but even that's dependent on the device, or to have the electronics get to be so small that it can exist independently and do something on its own. Like, you don't need a phone, you just have the watch. Like,
but there is, now there is the, is it the LG Watch Urbane LTE that has an LTE?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there are some of those wearables that can operate on their own, but even then it's kind of like,
So picture this, let's blue sky a little. Imagine that you have a phone that is, a watch that has an LTE and it works with good battery life and can make calls. And then there's a little thing that goes around your ear and similar to the Google Glass Jawbone kind of thing, you know, like where it picks up, where you can hear it and also talk at it. And that's your communication device. Is that something that people then flock to, you know, like
so Star Trek-y.
Right. It is. I mean, but isn't the goal of our existence to get to Star Trek? I mean, that's how I'm living.
Well, Samsung has had the Gear S. Mm-hmm. They're on the second version, which is pretty much standalone. And while a lot of enthusiasts really, really like it, most of the average consumers, and I hate to say average, but a lot of people are average.
Yeah.
It's too complicated. Mm-hmm. It can do all this stuff, but the interface is so small, trying to make it do any of that stuff is just too much of a pain. And forget it. They don't want to fool with it.
Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. It's like using a Tamagotchi. Those things are so small. They just had two buttons.
That's all they did. They just cried and,
ate.
That's
seriously
all they did.
Yeah, that's what it's like using an Android Wear watch. It's like, okay.
Do I have to feed it? Feed it. Feed
now,
it.
Now, once we can go forward.
Apps on here that are useful.
Once we can go forward into the future to where it's not a wearable device that we operate on the screen, but rather it projects a hologram.
Like Star Wars. With. Like the little,
But, then maybe the wearable could be. I don't want y'all seeing what I'm doing on a hologram.
No, it's a hologram that only you can see.
Right, it's only on a frequency that you can. It's tuned to your. You have implants.
I'd rather have an implant in my ear than having a hologram that people could see.
All right. Well, we got one more little Android Wear related news, and this is kind of neat. Apparently, Google is working on a way to determine whether you're a driver or a passenger in your car based on your Android Wear device, and it's detecting patterns and movement that drivers exhibit versus a passenger. And if you think about this, that's totally true. If you're wearing the Android Wear device and you're steering, your hands are up on the steering wheel and you're getting some motion, whatever. And if you're a passenger, more than likely, they're at your sides or in your lap, kind of maybe still for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's kind of neat. And if they can then detect this and then adjust the behavior of your devices based off that detection, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
kind of would potentially solve an issue that seems to come up time and time again about this kind of thing.
My issue is maps. Having maps on my wrist while I also have maps on my phone. Because I have a little cradle for my phone because I don't have a fancy dash system. So that's where I put the maps so I can see it.
Yeah, me too.
But then it's also on my wrist. And so it's like...
I don't think you should be using the maps on the wrist. That's my
but I don't... Maybe I'm just silly and I don't know
like
how
navigation
to...
navigation
comes through
your
wrist. Yeah, I
don't
know how to make it be like, go away. I don't need you on my wrist.
Yeah.
Like,
But I think that's a motion that they would still detect as well because it's where using the accelerometer, knowing where your hands are. Like if you're driving, you're getting that, you're doing this. But if I'm sitting with you in the car, I'm sitting like this. Mm-hmm. And I might go like that, but I'm going to bring it back down. You know, like it. So I don't know. I could see the science of this.
Mm-hmm.
So cool stuff.
I'm just glad they're working on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a very big problem with the idea of people using Google Glass or a watch or even fiddling with the new Android Auto units while they're driving.
Right?
I just don't want that to happen.
Yeah. The Android Auto units are like, they're still a little,
And have you noticed more and more auto head units are coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like when reviewing apps of the arena, I was like, oh, there's another auto thing. Like, there's like, there's movement there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. There is, but it's still like paying attention to the road and having stuff going on the screen in front of you.
Oh, it's not good.
It's just not like even though Google worked with whatever National Highway, et cetera, et cetera, like it's just not.
Well, I just want my watch to be able to use this that Google's working on to know if I'm driving and then not let me fool with the radio because, hey, Google knows I'm driving. Don't let me fool with the head unit or don't let me text on my phone.
Yep.
I want them to take it that far.
Yeah, or put in an auto response. You're driving, auto text saying, I'm driving, I can't get back to you, I'll get back to you right now, you know.
Or even, when you're listening to something and you're driving and you go to pause it on your watch because you know that the pause control is there instead of going to the phone, it's still actually pretty darn dangerous because you're like, you're actually taking your hand off in some cases and, you know, it's just...
That's where steering controls are really helpful.
Yeah, protect me from me, Google.
Or not let you open Netflix while you're driving. And, I mean, that is just, you would think they would have fixed that by now, but listen, the West Wing had to be watched. That's all I'm saying.
It was a boring drive through I-5. It was all cows and flatland. I needed something in the background.
Officer.
All right.
Hey, we got a voicemail.
We got a voicemail.
We do have a voicemail. Let's listen to the voicemail.
Good. That works for me anyways. This is Nick from Fresno.
Nick from Fresno, a longtime listener. Just wanted to get your thoughts. Actually, I'm in the market for an Android phone. I've been looking because of my price range of $299 at the Zenfone 2.
That's old art.
I had heard that they were moving from Intel back to a Qualcomm chip and wondered if it was still a good value at that range or if you had any other suggestions in that price range. Because NFC is still kind of important to me. I use that in my Moto X 2013. So thanks very much for the time, and keep up the good work. Bye.
Yeah, $300, a low price.
Hey, Triple A crew, this is
Oh, yeah. Welcome to SoundCloud.
Could have been worse.
Autoplay the next thing, please, is exactly what I wanted. Yeah, $300 is definitely a low price. But so what is the Zenfone 2? Is that coming in right around $300? I know, Jerry, you compared the Zenfone 2 to the Moto G.
There's several different options, but the good option is, I'm pretty sure, I think it's $289.99 for the one with the high-end CPU and the 4 gigabytes of RAM. Yes, 4 gigabytes of RAM in a phone.
Wow.
Wow.
For $299. Yeah, no, $299 at Amazon. 4 gigs of RAM. Man, that's a really good price.
For what it's worth, I loved this phone when I reviewed it.
Yeah.
Interface was kind of like annoying because it's a little bloaty, but their theming engine is really cool, and you can put in your own like third party app icons that you want, which for me, I just like that. I like the little customization part of it. It's a solid phone.
When I first looked at it, it had some really weird software quirks, but to their credit, they have worked most of those out. And it's one of those products. Why is this only $299? That's the question I have after using it. Why didn't they charge $450 like everyone else?
They put a bunch of apps on it that cut the price a little bit. Because it does have like a bunch of apps on it that you kind of can't ban.
It's just a really good phone at a really good price. And that's the best thing you can take away from it. And it comes in red, and it's beautiful.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if it will, if they have said whether this phone will get Marshmallow or not yet. I mean,
off the record, they have told me that they're doing everything they can to get Marshmallow out to that phone.
I mean, it makes sense that they would.
Yeah.
I have faith. I know you waver, but I have faith. I can't imagine anybody doesn't want it to be. You know, like,
Motorola has shaken my confidence.
Yes, Motorola went with Lenovo, and Lenovo does things very differently as a PC company than Asus.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they have some similar practices, but I've seen Asus has thus far been a real, like, they've really been a supporter of the Android, trying to be a part of the Android community.
Yeah, they're doing the security update thing as well, so.
Yeah, they know that this is a realm they need to be in, that they can't just be doing.
Well, like at the barbecue, Asus was there, and they reach out to people. Mm-hmm. Hey, what can we do? What can we do to make our stuff better?
I do.
You know, not a knock on Motorola necessarily, but they're not doing that.
Right.
Yeah, it's because Motorola has parents that won't let them out at night. And they're named Lenovo.
Yeah, good way to put it.
All right. But as far as Nick's question real quick.
Yeah.
Nick, if you don't need a phone right away, I would wait and see what we see at CES.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
As the under $300 market this year was better than ever.
ZTE, Alcatel One had some things. Yeah. That's right. And they usually do stuff around CES.
Well, I love the Idol 3. That's my second phone.
That's a good phone.
But I agree with you, Jerry. I mean, it's all what's your patience threshold. But there's always something waiting. There's always CES, Mobile World Congress, Google I.O., holidays. Yeah, there's always something around the corner. So, like, the best time to buy a phone is when you are ready. You know, like.
So when are you buying your phone, Ron?
Well, I'm not ready. Listen, Flo doesn't know, but back in the halcyon days of all that Android, we went through this with Jason for about.
I was just going to say, Ron, it sounds so familiar, but it's not me this time.
Was it 2 years? Was it a year and a half? It was like a very long time.
Yeah, it was a very long time. I kept putting it off and putting it off. I'm just going to wait. Oh, this one's coming out? Okay, then I'm going to wait.
And what were you switching from?
Who even knows?
Was it from the Moto Droid to something else?
It might have been. Old school. This is I think you ended up with an HTC, or what did you end up with?
I'm trying to remember. Was it the Thunderbolt?
Somebody might know.
I ended up with the Thunderbolt.
Yeah, I think it was the Thunderbolt. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
there was a time when that was awesome.
It was rough times. It was rough times, yeah.
But there was a time when that was a good one to switch to, and then you realized it actually wasn't.
Yeah, just that there was always something waiting. Yeah, something around the corner.
That's true. So. Very true.
All right, but around the corner now is thanking one of our sponsors, and we want to thank Lynda.com for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. I love Lynda.com because Lynda.com is for problem solvers, for the curious, for the people who want to make things happen. Maybe you want to learn how to develop an Android app, take better photos, master Photoshop, or sharpen your coding skills. Lynda.com has everything you need to feed your curious mind. If you're starting a new business or want to grow your existing one, Lynda.com's latest courses include creating a business plan, executive decision making, sales management fundamentals, and avoiding burnout. I would take that course if I were you. Mm-hmm. There's also a weekly series called Monday Productivity Pointers, and each installment gives you a quick tip on a tool that will help you run your life and business more efficiently. And while we're talking about running your life more efficiently, I strongly recommend the Getting Things Done series by David Allen, which is also available on Lynda.com. David Allen is one of my personal gurus, and if you haven't read the book, I strongly recommend it. And then go to Lynda.com, and you can hear David Allen in video talking about getting things done. It doesn't get better than that. It will change your life. Trust me. So with a Lynda.com membership, you can watch and learn from top experts who are passionate about teaching. You can stream thousands of video courses on demand and learn on your own schedule. You can learn at your own pace. The courses are structured so you can watch them from start to finish or consume them in bite-sized pieces. You can browse each course transcript to follow along or search for an answer and skip to that point. Take notes as you go and refer to them later. And you can download tutorials and watch them on the go, including access on your Android device. Create and save playlists of courses you want to watch to customize your learning path or share with friends, colleagues, and team members. So your Lynda.com membership gives you unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics, all for one flat rate. So whether you're looking to become an expert, you're passionate about a hobby, or you just want to learn something new, I want you to visit Lynda.com/allaboutandroid and sign up for a free 10-day trial. It's free, 10 days, it's 2 business weeks. That's Lynda.com, Lynda.com/allaboutandroid. And as always, we thank them for their support and for making us better people. So thank you, Lynda.
I didn't know you had a guru. I like that.
I do have a guru. I have several gurus.
I like that you have a guru.
Yeah, David Allen. Read the book. I'm telling you. Getting things done. So.
Pointless in the chat room is saying, as someone who bought the Thunderbolt on release day, no, there was never any such time, Reagan. There was never any such time. I remember there being a time when I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think I was just desperate to move on.
Yeah. And 15 minutes later, your battery was dead. And
yeah, no, it was pretty nuts. You know,
yeah,
part of the reason was the whole 4G. It was the first Verizon 4G Android device.
That's right. Yep. I told my friend to buy that phone. He was so mad at me because I had the Incredible. And then he switched to the Incredible, too.
Oh, I hated those names. I just hated those names.
The Incredible was a great phone.
No, it was a great phone. I just hated those names. They were just bad names. I don't know.
Well, sorry, that's Verizon for you.
Right, I know. Yeah.
Almost got the
Incredible. You have service everywhere, but...
I have a friend who rocked one of those R2-D2 droids for years.
Oh, well, really?
Years. Yeah, like he might even still be using it. I don't know. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
that's a good one to hold on to.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's check out some app news. Turns out we got a couple of
some stuff happened.
Notable things happening in the app world. First of all, Play Music is finally getting podcast support. Wow. You can see right up there, Twit is featured in the very first block. Podcasters can upload their shows to the site right now. You can do it in preparation of the official launch that will happen approximately in the coming months.
Please, The Blaze, put your podcast on this. I'm going to tweet you guys after the show.
This is going to be a land rush.
I love you
so much. This scares me. You know why this scares me?
Why?
Because I love Pocket Casts.
Yeah, so do I.
And I was podcasting back in the day when Apple was not involved in podcasts.
Uh-huh.
And there were these great services like Odeo and Podnova and all these great stuff. And then Apple supported podcasts. And all those services went away. And now I get that this is 10 years later and it's different and we want choice and things like that. But, and you know, over in Apple, like they've got a podcast app on iOS that actually is very good. So now Overcast exists.
Now it's good.
And Pocket Cast is on iOS. No, it's still not good. As a podcaster, I can tell you, I've got issues with the podcast app. But, you know, so there's Overcast, Pocket Cast is also on iOS. And I could still use Pocket Cast on Android, but I'm doing all my music in Google Play. Why wouldn't I just do my podcast there? You know, like it becomes that one.
Well, Don't give Google too much credit. They used to do an app called Listen.
That's true. It's a good point.
I forgot about that one.
That is a good point.
See, I use Podkicker Pro, which is a total like bare bones podcast app, but it's my fave. It's super bare bones. Bare bones.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see sometime in the coming months when this launches. Let's see here. It only includes audio, confirmed. Actually, Patrick DeLahanty here at Twit just confirmed that. It's only audios at the moment. I wonder and hope, you know, I would imagine at some point that would open up to video, but honestly, we have no idea.
We should be the first.
What's that?
We should be the first video.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should.
Just like
Play. So Play Music has this Songza integration in it. If you're a Play
Which
Music
cool.
Subscriber, it's kind of like contextual suggestions based on time of day, you know, mood, all this kind of stuff around music. they're bringing that over to podcasts as well. So there's going to be suggestions based on all those things, which would be interesting. I just don't see that. I don't see that applied to podcasting as successful of a way.
I'm not a podcast discoverer. I read the description before I try.
Yeah, I have my subscriptions, you know? And I'm very selective at what I subscribe to.
Exactly. And if I want something new, it's probably because NPR produces it, or a friend of mine is doing something.
I don't think this is going to be the same as 2006 when Apple got into the podcasting game. I don't think the same thing will happen.
No, but I think this is just because we need to have some native podcasting app on Android. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows where the code to listen is. Apps. They just lost the source code to listen. I'm just like,
you can still get listen.
I never used listen.
Everybody go home and install listen after this.
Well, next week we'll talk about it. I don't know if it's still on the Play Store.
Well, I'm sure you can find like an forward APK facing,
but yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Just be careful if you're finding an APK somewhere.
Yeah.
Just that.
Yes, scary things.
Yes. Don't go into dark corners of the internet to find an APK for listen. It's not worth it. Okay. I'm telling you right now. Do you think, I mean, this has to be good news for podcasters, right, Jerry? This is opening up podcasters to a completely new kind of sea of newbies, basically.
My only question is, why is this U.S. only? Because I doubt there's any real monetization going on other than the ads everybody plays in their podcast. So I don't see why this had to be, not even Canada.
Podcasts have no boundaries.
Right. That's something Google needs to work on all around.
Just in general.
A lot of times, I understand, it's money, it's governments, it's rules and regulations. This seemed like a no-brainer to be worldwide, but it's not.
It is the government. How dare the government?
Yeah, government.
Government.
That's right, Jerry. Let's go.
It is kind of a bummer, though.
Yeah.
It's a bummer that yet again some new cool thing is coming to the U.S. only, and everybody else is excluded from it.
But I have a friend in Canada who runs a podcast.
Well, he has good health care, so you know what?
There's got to be something.
Yeah,
and he's probably got heated seats too.
Yeah, he does, and moose,
and wireless charging.
His life sounds
great. About app prices, Jason?
What about app prices? Oh, hey,
do we
there
care
you go.
About that or no?
Did I put that in there?
Yeah, it's there. Oh. We can move on.
U.S. apps can now cost as much as $400.
I did put that in there, but I forgot to read it.
A new ceiling on how much apps can cost in the Google Play Store. They can now cost as much as $400. There's your story.
I'm assuming the $400 is like for a textbook kind of app or something.
Or a really nice shiny jewel that does nothing. Remember that app?
Yeah, I've got more money than God. And as proof, I bought this $400
really?
App
not
for
give
no
it to
better
like
reason
a homeless
than to show
shelter
people.
Or like buy some toys for some kids.
Hey, people do stupid things with their money.
Yeah.
I know. I do stupid things with my money.
All right, well, moving on. YouTube had a big announcement, and when I saw the headline, I did a double take because I thought it was something else. But YouTube Red was announced, and for those who don't know what YouTube Red is, it is a $9.99 monthly membership ad-free YouTube experience that allows offline viewing and listening and includes a subscription to Play Music. And next year, they're going to be rolling out access to member-only exclusive content from big-name YouTube stars. And once again, it's going to be U.S. only for now. But this is a big move by YouTube. A lot of people see this as in reaction to some of the movement that's been going on in the YouTube star space and the online video space of people kind of building their own things and putting stuff out there. And for people who create content, it's very controversial. And I thought YouTube Red would mean something completely different. But I'll go back to that joke. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Because it sounds like RedTube?
Yes.
Which has pornographic images?
For a moment, I was like, no, they didn't.
It was kind of. District.
We're
red,
alphabet now.
Yeah. Like, you think red, you think, you know.
Why would you leave that money on the table, right?
You know, Google's pretty liberal. Like, I imagine they have, like, a building where everyone is free to be naked.
We understand why they moved to Alphabet.
Yeah.
They freed themselves to do other things.
Yeah, which is fine. It's very cool.
More power to you.
So, but that's not all they announced. They also announced that, remember the old YouTube Music key, which I don't know if that ever took off. It's now simply YouTube Music, and they've got a new app for Android coming soon, and it allows for background audio playback, toggling video playback to only play audio, and liking a video saves it for offline viewing.
There's a way to get to music. key in the app, isn't there?
I thought it was only accessible through Google Play. Like, I would look up Google Play and Google Play Music, and I'd see artists and I'd see little YouTube links, but I never did it because
there was a way to get to it through here. Yeah. But I guess I'm wrong because, I mean, I'm a Play Music subscriber. I know that I get the music key features like playing in the background and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is essentially a rebranded music key, but taking it, a few steps further.
They're just kind of getting their house in order. One important thing, though, if you currently subscribe to the discounted Google Play Music plan at $7.99, you get to keep that rate when YouTube Red launches. Yes. So that's important. So, yeah. So, cool.
Except I also might want to do the family plan, and I don't know how that's going to affect things.
There's lots of variables there.
It's a couple of dollars a month, whatever.
Well, there's other exciting Play news, too.
Yeah.
Now you know exactly what app is for your Android Wear watch, because there will be a little watch symbol.
A little watch
guy. I'm having a hard time talking today. There will be a little watch symbol. Oh, my goodness. I'm losing my tongue here.
It's okay. There it is.
Anyway, there's a little watch symbol, so now you know what the heck works on your watch.
Oh, that's helpful. That's handy.
So that's good. That's good, finally. Still kind of hard to find stuff in the store regardless.
Yeah.
Google can make that a little easier, but, I mean...
Any of those
if
cues.
If only they had, knew how to program a search engine.
If only.
Right?
It's true. Yep. If they had any sort of experience working with search, then
I know.
We wouldn't even be talking about
that?
This.
Maybe they could go to Yahoo for that.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Right. Yahoo's Bing. A big deal.
Yeah.
It's got to be Bing.
Ask.com. Ask
They're just in Oakland. They're still around.
Is Ask Jeeves still?
Yeah. Yes. Ask.com. Yeah. The big old building
right next
in Oakland.
The art.com building.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know about right next to it. They're on the other side of the bay. Art.com's closer to Berkeley.
How many Ravens? It still exists.
How many Ravens predicted there in London?
Ask.com still exists?
Oh, they've,
let's see what Ask
have
says.
An Easter egg in there. They just go to their website. See?
Now they don't.
Yeah. It's like, well, you used to be able to ask Jeeves what his sexual orientation was.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Jeeves has now become like the Jeeves of old is the Google Now of now and the Siri of now and all that kind of stuff.
No, honestly, if you think about it, yes, you are correct. The Ask Jeeves paradigm was decades ahead of its time.
It totally was.
Because if you go back and look at your searches, now I'm going, what happens when you do this? Like, I'm asking natural language, and that's how I'm searching, as opposed to...
Some sort of keyword syntax thing.
Good job, Ash Jeeves. Exactly. You deserve a little more credit than you got. There you go.
You deserve to still exist.
Yeah, there you go.
Ask.com.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, let's... we never get these, but we got a video mail from a friend of the show that I actually met for the first time at Google I.O. Take it away, Ant.
Hey, what's going on, All About Android? Hope y'all are doing well. I'm Ant Pruitt. I wanted to make a video. Why? Because Jason said no one ever makes video comments anymore for the show.
Awesome.
Well, here's your video, Jason. Hope y'all are doing well, man. I'm here in Hearst, Texas for the big Android barbecue. And there's a problem. You are not here. Come on, All About Android. We need you guys here. If you can't get here on Thursday... See if Leo sends you guys out for Friday and the big party Friday night.
That didn't happen.
Like to see you guys again, man. It was nice meeting you over at Google I.O. this past spring or summer. Yeah, I guess that was summer. June, right? Anyway, come on out and hang out with us, man. I'm here hanging with my man Aaron Kasten from IDEA and his whole staff. Some great people, and it's a lot of fun. Dr. Joe is here, too, with Kiddo EMR. So come check us out. We'll see you next time. Peace.
I think we've kind of decided. I think we were talking about this in pre-show.
Yeah, we wanted to be there. We absolutely were there in spirit. I mean, I happened to be in Ireland and you were here, but
we're going to make it work next year.
Hypothetically, maybe. We're going to do our best because there's
we're
also
make it
something
work.
Going on.
Has it been announced? It has not been on
their website. There's no date for 2016,
okay. All right.
But so there might be a conflict over there, but over here we'll do our best. So it's okay. You only get married once.
Little thing involving getting
like a
married.
Honeymoon at barbecue.
Hey.
I'm sure.
I can think of worse honeymoons. I can think of better honeymoons too. Jerry, you were at the big Android barbecue.
Yes, sir.
How many years is this, like your second, third year?
This is actually my first year at barbecue proper. I've been to some of the other satellite events, but I never could
wrangle
the calendar
virgin,
around,
if you will.
And it's
Y'all should have went.
I know.
I know you know it now, but it's 3 days of Android fun with really fun people in the most relaxed atmosphere you can think of.
That sounds awesome. Delightful.
I was watching some of the videos from it just to kind of like get up on. Sometimes I like to watch the developer videos because you kind of like learn new things, especially with Marshmallow. I'm still learning things. And they were just like so well done. I mean, it didn't feel like it didn't feel like an IOE kind of environment. It just felt more relaxed and easier for somebody who's non-developer like me to understand some of the panels. And I was like, man, I could have been there with a beer and some ribs in my mouth while learning about how Doze works.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The best part is after the speaker was finished, you just walk up to him and sit down and ask him the questions you may have.
While eating ribs, I assume.
Right, while eating, right. It's And there was adult-sized big wheels to race around.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
Google I.O. doesn't have this that.
That's some of that Austin flavor there. Yeah.
Was there a swimming hole? I imagine there's like a swimming hole.
Swimming hole. The apostrophe, yeah.
The whole thing was a swimming hole because of the edge of that hurricane.
Oh right. Wow. Yeah.
But this is, if you're an Android fan of any type and you can make your way to the annual barbecue, it's something you should go to.
All right, cool. I know it's on the radar. I mean, I think pairing barbecue with any event is a good move. You know, so I went to a wedding about a month ago, and the food was barbecue, and it was great. I mean, like that. There's an idea for you.
We should have a Google I/O barbecue.
That's a good idea.
Android show. Google
that's a
great
idea. This is what we'll do. No, this is what we'll do because you guys will be in Google I/O, and I won't have a pass. I'll just set up a barbecue on Mission Street.
That's perfect.
And we'll have the All About Android barbecue.
Will it be okay if I don't attend and just sit outside with you,
Jerry? Come on, man. We'll hang. It's gonna be awesome. Let's do it.
You can have your own I/O.
Let's do it. We're gonna have our own I/O. Yep, and we're
barbecue.
No, these ribs are only for people without passes, and it's gonna be me and Jerry and the people of Mission Street.
I was gonna say you're gonna get a lot of very colorful characters.
Find an adult-sized big wheel. This is San Francisco. I'm pretty sure that'll do well on Mission and Fourth.
You just go to a startup.
Mission and Fifth.
I know you can find adult big wheels. They do every Easter. They do the big wheel.
I know. I've done it. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
True.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, we want to go. We definitely want to go.
Yeah, we'll make it happen. Aaron, Kasten, I know last year we had you on All About Android, and you said you should really come out. And we probably said, all right, we'll try next year. And
someone
this year we had you on, and you said you really should come out. And I said, okay, we'll try next year. Next year,
I think they really want us to come.
Here's the thing. All Dr. Joe and Jerry, all you people who are pro, you need to tell us in like June or July. Like, it can't be the last week of September where it's like, I got a thing.
Can you do the hard work of remembering things for us, please?
Basically, that's all we need.
As soon as Aaron tells me, I will yell it from the rooftop.
Yay. Yes,
that I can do.
Yes.
And I will cancel my wedding.
You know those? Yes. Remember those old websites that let you send an email in the future to yourself?
Uh-huh.
We should dig
that up and like send an email to myself on July 1st that says, find out when the Android barbecue is.
So, let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Speaking of barbecue,
let's thank
our last sponsor of today's episode, Blue Apron. Blue Apron is awesome. Whether you know how to cook, whether you don't know how to cook, you just know that you want to cook more meals and you don't like going to the grocery store and picking out all of your ingredients or thumbing through a huge recipe book to find out what you're going to eat throughout the coming week, Blue Apron takes care of all that. It's kind of like you're learning how to cook just by receiving this box that you see I'm unpacking here. You'll get delivered to your house, just a gigantic box with a bunch of meals inside, basically all the ingredients to cook the meal. So you get a couple of recipe cards, and it has all the ingredients that are tied to that specific recipe. So you know, kind of what to pull out of the refrigerator and start cooking. And none of the recipes really take any longer than 30 to 40 minutes to cook up. And they're always changing, always different. Fresh ingredients sent right to you. Just the right amount so that you can satisfy the recipe, so you aren't measuring things out. It's literally like, okay, now put the butter in, you know, and the butter is kind of off on its own. It's very easily done, and it's just a really cool experience. And you learn more about cooking in the process. Less than $10 per meal, all these fresh ingredients are just delivered to you with those instructions that we just showed off there. And yeah, it's not overwhelming. It's actually super easy to put together, and the food is delicious. Some of the things that you can find on Blue Apron, for example, baked Sicilian-style rigatoni. kale and ricotta salata, Jamaican jerk chicken. This is where everybody gets hungry, by the way. Chicken and maduros with stewed collard greens and charred lime. All this stuff. Just bring it into your kitchen. Cook with the ingredients that you've never used before. Things like watermelon radishes, farro, purple potatoes. I love purple potatoes, by the way.
They've been on a fennel kick. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot of recipes. I love fennel. Yeah. Love fennel.
Fennel's really good with salmon, actually.
Yeah.
Recipes are between 500 to 700 calories per portion, and it's just delicious, great food. And they also have meal plans for two people, and then they also have family meal plans. And so they're very different. Every week you get different meals. They never duplicate them, so you're always guaranteed to get new recipes. And the stuff in the family plan is made for, obviously, a larger number of people. I think four people in the family plan, or you can kind of figure out the portions there. And they make it kind of more palatable for younger tastes as well. So if you have younger kids that maybe don't want to explore a certain style or genre of meal, they make it so that it's food that they're going to want to eat. So right now you can get your first two meals free. Just go to blueapron.com/twit. You can check out this week's menu and get your first two meals for free. Just go to blueapron.com/twit. And check out what they have on store for you. And I think you're going to really enjoy it. It's delicious stuff. And I'm suddenly very, very hungry. Thank Blue Apron for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. All right. Without further ado, it's time to enter into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Speaking of getting grooves back.
Oh.
Look, did the streak finally come to an end?
What happened? I actually haven't seen today's results.
Whoa. Oh, sorry.
There's a new streak, right? You're 2 weeks in a row,
I suppose,
right?
This is 2 weeks in a row. Two weeks in a row.
Not that I'm counting.
That was a really good app.
I have to thank Marlon, really the guy one. From Trinidad.
Marlon is
the one that gave me the insight on that one. And wow.
Yeah, look at that.
Dark Echo, 68%.
Yep.
Fabulous, Motivate Me, second place at 21%, and Square Cash, third place at
12%. So, FYI, on the Fabulous, so that was a last-minute addition.
Mm-hmm. Don't make excuses.
Okay, so I got kind of annoyed with it, and I deleted it from my phone, and I'm pretty sure I got an email from the developer.
Oh!
Yep. Yeah. I got an email from the developer. You're embarking on a fabulous, self-changing journey. What happened?
Oh, no, that's a can. That's a retention message.
Thought it was clever.
That's the thing, is that the retention messaging on apps are getting personal now. Like where it's like hey Ron, I'm the CEO of this company. I just want to thank you for that. I'm like, oh wow, he sent me an email.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then honestly now I work for a company that has an app and we have retention messaging it's great. It's amazing how well it's done, but it definitely gives that personal touch. It's like, wow, they want
feedback.
Yeah.
Too many notifications. Yeah. Quit bothering me. I get it. I'm supposed to be organized.
Yep.
Get off my back.
Retention. Remember that word. If you're ever looking for investment for an app, it's
just
all
let
about
me
retention.
Be free.
Yep. All right. Well, let's do it.
Let's kick it off. Well, that would be you, Flo, because you are the returning loser, as we say.
I'm not a loser. I was second place.
Well, you didn't win, so
returning loser. You are the full loser. Yeah. But,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, which camera we got on me today?
It's camera bingo.
So I can show you. Sorry.
I'm on bingo now.
Which camera we're doing today? So my app today is called Hex Lock. It lets you lock individual apps.
Oh, cool.
So if you've got some nosy people in your house, I hope you're not hiding anything that's going to be like detrimental to a relationship, because that's wrong. But let's say you want to hide something like your file manager. Hex Lock is awesome because you can hide it from people from going through your stuff. Okay, so it's super easy to use. As soon as I start it up, then I can show you how it works. You just enter a pattern and you can choose between home apps. Let me bring down the brightness on this guy so you guys can see it a little bit better. Home apps, enter a pattern for that, work apps, and then you can just turn it off completely if it's just kind of annoying you and you need stuff to be on.
So those tie into your location? Is that what it is? For home and
no,
work?
No, you can just set like different... passwords or like change the profile. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, if you need like home stuff, can have a different pattern, you know. So for work apps, I set up two this afternoon. The file manager here turned it on. Pretty easy, super easy. Mm-hmm. Bang, bang. It's already locked up. I'm getting the hang of talking and demoing, by the way.
Not easy, believe me.
This is super hard to do.
Yeah. Takes time. You're doing great.
Yeah. So file manager, here we go. Well, it's unlocked, so I guess it doesn't really work.
Well, no, but you probably,
I did. It's supposed to be locked.
But you've unlocked it once in the session since you've had the phone.
Oh, that's true.
Phone woke up or whatever, so.
True.
That would be my guess anyways.
Anyway, hex lock. Lock your apps.
Well, okay, so so your display is off now. Now turn it back on and try and go to the file manager. See if that maybe does it.
Fingerprint.
Because I'm thinking if you entered it once and then you go into, you know what I mean? No?
What is going on?
Huh.
This is why I keep losing the operator.
Oh. No, but you started strong.
I give up.
It's okay. Maybe the developer.
I still don't know how this freaking app works. Yeah. It might be that I'm not in work mode right now.
Yeah.
So here, let me try one more time. Sorry to take up all your precious time.
No,
I'm gonna lock the setting.
No, this is great. I want to
see it work.
This is the and all about Android real. This is like
there we go.
There it is.
Yes, it's because I was in home mode right now.
See, there you go.
Okay, so between 9 and 5, you have to do work apps.
There you go. Uh-huh. That's good.
And I have only had work apps locked up till now because you know apparently I don't trust my coworkers or something. I don't trust all of you. Don't worry. But anyway, so now I unlocked it. Great. Yeah. Now we're
very
in the
nice.
Settings apps.
Awesome.
Cool.
Lock on a per app basis. Hex lock app lock security.
Thanks for taking that journey with me, guys.
We've all grown.
I feel like we've all onboarded along with you.
I feel close with you guys.
Hex lock app lock security for free in the Play Store. Ron, you are next.
I am next. So this is an app that I've been sitting on for a while, and I'm actually surprised that nobody's actually done it yet. Yet again, in the world of productivity, sometimes you're looking for a really great app that helps you write, and Monospace Writer Beta is that such app. And what really strikes me about this app is that it's a very simple, bare bones writing app that also allows you to, it allows you to export your documents in plain text or Markdown. And am I too bright? Should I adjust my brightness there, Brian? There you go. Well, what's interesting is that, so in the interface, it's very, very simple. Like you see, it's very plain. You can go either the light mode or you can go to a dark mode. And we're going to stay in dark mode. I think that works a little better here. And you'll notice here that it doesn't have any sort of file storage hierarchy. Rather, what it does is it uses a hashtag that you put at the bottom of your document. So, for example, if I go to this document, it explains how you can organize with hashtags. And at the very bottom of it, you just add the various hashtags, and the ones that you add, it nests them in so that when you go back to your whatchamacallit, not my notification pane, when you go back to the menu, you can see they're all organized by that. So that makes it a little easier. Here I didn't put a hashtag at the bottom, so I'm going to do that. And we will see it come up in the listing. But so that's kind of neat. I mean, yay, hashtags, whatever. It's just an organization schema. So you see now here under Android, I've got two files there, you know. So here's the show notes. This one I did earlier. What's really interesting about this is that it is designed for a touch interface. So if you're using a tablet or a phone a lot to do writing, sometimes if you need to do any sort of formatting or anything like that, it becomes a huge pain in the butt. So what Monospace Beta lets you do is it allows you to use the same touch interface that we use for copy and paste, but for formatting. So let's say here it says lightweight design. I want to make design bold. All I got to do is tap and hold on the word. It gives me little bubbles, and then it gives me a whole formatting line. I just do bold, and then it goes away.
Nice.
Let's say I want to do multiple words, so I can do my thing, and I can pull across, and I make all that italic. I take the little hair off there. So there we go. So that is, if you're a writer, this is a game changer. This is like a touch interface dream. So that's pretty much the thing that had me realize that this is a all-star app. You can interface with Dropbox, and you can store all your files on Dropbox, and they can sync across devices. So, for example, this show notes document I started on my phone earlier today, saved it to Dropbox. When I opened this up, I synced it to Dropbox. It just appears immediately like that. You can export it out, and you can choose whether to save it as Markdown or plain text. And I'm going to do plain text, and it brings up the typical share stuff. So if you are a writer, if you're on the go, if you're not using a laptop, if you're just on a phone or a tablet, Monospace Beta is the way to go. It's free in the Google Play Store. Check it out. So
cool. Monospace Write Beta. For free.
For free.
All right, Jerry, I have your app installed, so I'll go ahead and show it off if you want to tell folks all about
okay.
it.
Okay. It's F-Stop Media Gallery, and it's an app that I've used for a while, and then with the 6P, I really don't like Google Photos for local stuff, so I ran right back to it, and it's gotten way better. It's a material design, as you can see. I think that's kind of nice. Make all your apps look the same. There's themes, and you can customize the interface, but most important to me is you can sort things by tags. I can have folders nested up and keep everything in a way that makes sense if I'm looking through a file browser, or I can go into the app and I can, search by tags like family or cars or whatever. As long as I've, added the tag to the photos, I can easily come back and find them. There was another very popular app that kind of got bloaty with some weird software embedded in it that people... I don't want to say any names, but it was Quick Pick. And if you were a user and you're looking for something that I think is better, F-Stop is where to go. It's free in Google Play. You can buy the full version, and it lets you nest your folders deeper, and you can actually browse it through a folder structure like a file manager. You can lock out folders that you don't want scanned at all, or you can take folders and password protect them. And it's just every customization option that I can think of is built in there. And it's a great way to look at the pictures that I keep on my device.
Cool.
It's got a little slideshow.
Oh, the kid photos. Nope. That always gets us.
Well, yeah.
It is.
Pretty much what you're going to get on my phone.
Yep.
Lots of kid photos. Cool.
This app would be perfect for you.
Yeah, there we go.
You could tag them all with kid, and then every photo on your phone.
Exactly. Select all, tag kid, done. Perfect. Excellent. It also has a protected folder if you need that, favorites, ratings. Excellent. Wow, a lot of sorting capability and management. Excellent stuff. That is F-Stop Media Gallery. All right, mine's quick. It's for fans of animated GIFs, I suppose. I don't know. I think it's kind of neat. I feel like it's very interesting. It's Boomerang from Instagram, by the way. I feel like it's very interesting that our attention span keeps paring down and down.
Further, yeah.
Now we're at a second of looping video. This is where we've come, ladies and gentlemen.
All right,
what have
you made?
I haven't really made.
Just 1 second?
Actually, hold on. Let me go into F-Stop.
Made one.
And I'll go into my folders. Is it going to work? Is it going to loop it when it plays it back? No, I'm just saying no to you. That's what I'm saying. all right, so basically, what is it? It's just a way to record really quick one-off, like 1 second looping videos. So I don't know if there's any way for me to do this and record, but Ron, I'm going to need something amazing from you. That's not very original.
Well, I do.
Okay.
Shrug.
Okay. Let's see here. That's a pretty good shot. I feel like that was accidental that we got it.
It was,
well.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Pretty
go.
Good.
There you go.
So if you want a Ron shrugging animated GIF, then I'll go ahead and share it to Instagram.
Couldn't turn to your right, could you?
I'll go ahead and grant permissions, which I love in Marshmallow, by the way.
You can hit that to make it the actual size. Yeah, there you go.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
you don't want that.
No,
that's
the actual size.
Actual size. Actual size. Actual size. Actual size. There you go.
Okay, fine.
Actual size, Jason.
All right, geez. Apparently, you guys have very strong opinions.
You need to put a filter on
Instagram's actual size. Okay.
Use a filter. I like the black and white one because it's like, it's the past.
Okay. Right now, it's I'm actually only really showing off Instagram. That's what we're in.
Instagram is a great app one's ever heard of.
Yeah, totally. Ron shrugs. Go ahead and go.
Wasn't that a book?
Yes. Yeah, I think it was.
It was a really short book. And there we go. Ron shrugging on Instagram.
So sorry.
Instagram needed that. Obviously, you can share this anywhere. You can share it to Google+, Facebook, whatever. But it's just, as you saw, that was a really easy, quick way for me to get a super, mm-hmm. And then we'll see. Again.
Actually, it's not bad. It's effective here. It's
totally working.
I'm totally installing this app.
Yeah.
It was super quick, and now I have an animated GIF that I can share everywhere, and I will.
That is my profile photo.
Your eyebrows are kind of freaking
so
me out.
On fleek right now.
The eyebrows.
Wow, I really scrunched my face, didn't I?
You don't realize you see it looping.
Where's
the squirrel music, Brian? Where's the...
This is why you should install Boomerang from Instagram right here. There we go. It's free. Do it. And animate some GIFs that haven't been animated before. All right, so you can vote for your favorite app this week, as you can every week, and we'll check in on it next week and see who wins. AAApoll.com/237 is the place to go. Is it Hexlock, Monospace Rider Beta, F-Stop Media Gallery, or Boomerang from Instagram? Place your vote. We'll check in on it next week and see where we land and see if I can continue my streak, but I think I probably can't.
I'm pulling for you, Jason.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I was skeptical of the Boomerang, but you won me over.
I was skeptical of the Boomerang, too, to be honest. But that just worked perfectly. Yeah. Awesome show, you guys.
Yeah, good times.
I think we did what we were supposed to do. We talked about Android.
We talked all about it, in fact.
All about it. Through and through.
Yeah, we couldn't have done it without Jerry, though. Jerry's the best. So, yeah.
You did say we couldn't have done it.
Couldn't have done it without Jerry.
Okay, good.
Yeah, couldn't have done it without Jerry.
Okay, no.
I would have been right either way, but I loved being here.
Jerry, yes, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We got to get you back here soon. So you released the thing that I have to imagine you spent a lot of time thinking and writing about over the past week. Any hints on what you're working on now, what we can look forward to?
I'm probably going to be working a little bit more with this 6P. There's a lot more I want to say.
Yeah.
I want to explain some of the features a little bit more in depth. And, you know, this is how things work, that kind of stuff. I enjoy doing that kind of stuff, and I think like to think that it helps people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you can always follow Jerry on Google+. Just search for Jerry Hildenbrand, or, you know, all of your writing is on AndroidCentral.com. Yep. I know I read all of it. I know, Flo, you were saying you've been reading his
I've been reading articles. Jerry for so long.
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm a fan of yours, Jerry.
One of the best.
For a very long time. Yep.
Now I'm all nervous.
He's looking down. He's
lucky for you, it's the end of the show. Yeah. So.
Don't do the eyebrow thing.
Don't do the eyebrow thing. Okay, there we go. There we go. Jerry, I'll send you the eyebrow thing just so that you can have it. Yeah. Thanks again, Jerry. Always appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Flo, same kind of goes for you. You've had a couple of big reviews that you've published, and I have to imagine the train just keeps rolling. What else are you working on?
You know Snowpiercer, that movie? Yes. That train just kept going and going and going around the world.
Yep.
It's my life right now.
Is it that cold as well, too?
It's super cold. Yep. And Chris Pratt.
Yeah. Chris, Captain America. I should know
Captain
this.
Captain America.
Oh, Chris Evans. Chris Evans.
Unfortunately, there's no...
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. Chris Evans. For me to objectify during all this, but...
I still don't know what movie you're talking about.
Snowpiercer.
You have to watch. It's apparently. Really depressing. It'll really depress you. But it's really good. And then read the graphic novel afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Until today, I thought I was the only person who had ever watched that movie.
That's such a good movie.
Look at this.
It's, yeah.
Flo and Jerry coming together.
We do like Cerebral Fridays every... Friday at our house.
Is it still on Netflix? It was on Netflix for a while.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I'm I rent movies.
I'm just afraid of all the homework you just gave me. I have to watch the movie, then I have to do the graphic novel.
It's good stuff.
Anyway, there's a lot more, you know, the train's not ending for a while.
All right, stay tuned
to Greenbot, PC World, the internet. The internet's going to be just, yeah, there's lots to look forward to.
Excellent.
That's all I can say.
All right.
Cool.
Well, that's all that we can ask.
So you can,
what about you, Ron?
You can go to about.me/RonXO where you can find all the links to my social media stuff, and you can see me annoying everybody by rooting for the Mets tirelessly until the end of this World Series.
You got this, Ron.
I know. I hope so. But also by day, working hard over at getdrop.com. We just launched our iPhone app today, but very exciting. So,
nice.
But yes, working very, very hard on things. I was in Ireland planning and strategizing and working. So it's cool stuff coming in 2016, I promise you guys. So.
Excellent.
I'm rooting for the Mets for you, by the way.
Thank you. You should.
I've been like, I was doing a little reading while you were gone to kind of learn a little bit.
They're
about
great.
The Mets
they're a great group of guys. They're good.
Just trying to. Now I get some of the jokes.
Yeah, see, there you go.
As a Nats fan, I hope your Mets win. Because, all right. You know, the Nats were never going to win after that fiasco.
Oh, yeah, so, no, yeah.
Go Mets.
Yeah. Thank you. Let's do it.
What about you, Brian? Do you care if the Mets win or lose?
Oh, you know, I could root for either team. I like the Mets a lot. I think they've earned it. But I also kind of feel bad for the Royals, considering I'm a Giants fan and what we put them through. So
Why do you feel bad? Brian,
make the right decision, Brian.
Why do you feel bad for the Royals?
I feel bad because they were so nice about losing. Like, they're like, good job, Giants. Way to go. And that made me feel guilty more than anything.
They're very polite there. Yeah. They're very nice. Yeah,
so that's why I feel guilty, because they're so polite.
We could turn that into
all about baseball.
Turn this into that, that's for sure.
Oh, I've thought about it. I've thought about doing it.
But if the Mets win too, Ron, I'll be happy. All so right. Good luck. I do a how-to show with Padre every Thursday at 11 o'clock. You can tune into that. And for any of you MotoGP fans out there, you can follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo. I know there's a couple of Android viewers who messaged me on Twitter and were surprised to find out that I liked motorcycles. But
oh, motorcycles. I was thinking Motorola.
I thought he was making another name. I was cool.
The Google Play edition.
Huawei makes that, Brian.
That would be cool. Motorola GP.
You should pitch it.
I don't know about the Mets, whether they can score a touchdown or possibly a 3-point shot.
Yep.
They might even get a goal. I don't know.
You just struck out, Jason.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. Yeah, you like that, all of you? You can find me about if you like me anymore, you can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Find my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. I have another Android show. I'm working on a Halloween episode this week. Got a couple of really good picks on Android App Arena. That is twit.tv/arena. Check it out and find some new apps to install on your device that weren't on tonight's show. But that's it for this show. Thank you so much for sending us voicemails and video mail and all that stuff. We got a bunch this week, and I love that. AAA@twit.tv for our email. 347-SHOW-AAA is our voicemail. So hit us up. We're on Twitter at Android Show. We're on Reddit at twitaaa.reddit.com. Let's see. Google Plus, we've got a community that's amazing. Go there. Just search for All About Android.
Super amazing.
It's awesome. Show notes, past episodes are always on our show page at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on YouTube and iTunes, and soon Google Play Music. And catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.
Happy Halloween.
Have a wonderful time.